Hi, it's Chuck Jaffe, host of the Navigator podcast from the Active Investment Company Alliance. I also host a weekday podcast called Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And on Tuesday, March the 22nd, we featured Eric Boughton of Matisse Capital in our Money Life Market Call. Because the interview was focused on the Matisse funds, which invest entirely in closed-end funds, we wanted to make sure you got a chance to listen in. So here it is as a bonus episode of The Navigator. Enjoy. Money Life Nation, you guys are always asking me to get more guests on to talk about closed-end funds. Well, you're in luck because I got one of the best guys around. Eric Boughton, portfolio manager and chief analyst at Matisse Capital, is here. And yes, it's time to talk closed-end funds in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to The Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly that's impacting the market now, and how they put it all together. And my guest is Eric Boughton, chief analyst at Matisse Capital, which you can learn about at MatisseCap.com, and which runs two funds that invest in closed-end funds. It's the Matisse Discounted Closed-End Fund Strategy Fund, which is MDCEX, and the Matisse Discounted Bond Closed-End Fund Strategy Fund, which is MDFIX. You can learn about the funds at MatisseFunds.com. Eric Boughton, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be here, Chuck. Thanks for having me on.
Eric, we always start with methodology, and when it comes to closed-end funds, and also with your mutual funds, which of course say they're looking for discounted closed-end funds, discounts matter, but there's more to it than just the discounts.
Closed-end funds are awesome vehicles for investors to get extra income. And the thing that we love about them the most, as you said, is that they can trade at big discounts to their net asset values. That gives us the opportunity to buy assets on sale. We find cheap asset classes, and we buy the funds that own those stocks or bonds at sometimes 10 to 15% discounts to what they're actually worth.
Of course, closed-end funds move in the direction of those discounts pretty violently at times based on headlines. And man, have the headlines gotten closed-end funds moving again. So let's talk about this environment, because on the one hand, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has been put on sale. And on the other hand, sometimes it feels like you're reaching out to catch a falling knife.
Indeed. The closed-end fund market is Putin on a sail, as we might say, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, is leading to some opportunities in emerging market and foreign closed-end funds. So that's something we're really paying attention to right now.
Did you catch that in there? Putin on a sail? Yeah, okay. We like it in terms of the thing. We don't necessarily like what's going on in Ukraine, but it has been hitting closed-end funds particularly hard because, of course, there are some areas, certain commodities, certain market sectors, closed-end funds that specialize in certain parts of the world. While it's been putting on that sale, what has it been doing in terms of buying opportunities versus not? Because it put them on sale, but it's not like there's resolution that gives you some idea of when the discounts are going to come off, is there?
That's a great point, Chuck. Anytime you're trying to buy things on sale, you have to admit the fact that they could go on bigger sale tomorrow. And so that's something we're definitely aware of. One of the things that we look at here in terms of the discounts and the opportunity is we need to get a handle on the magnitude of the issue. So one of the key things we're looking at, for example, with foreign closed-end funds is how big is Russia? How big a deal is Russia in the marketplace? Russian stocks only make up about 4% or only made up about 4% of the MSCI Emerging Market Index over the past several years. And as we've seen, they've now actually been removed from the index because they're not trading. So investors who are panicking and closed-end funds are really misunderstanding the magnitude of that Russian problem. Another thing that we note about international, foreign equity and bond closed-end funds is that relatively few countries are likely to see a long-term negative impact on the profits of their companies that result from Putin's invasion of Ukraine. So that's true for even emerging market countries. And third, international stocks and especially emerging stocks are starting out dirt cheap. They went into this dirt cheap. So the MSCI Emerging Market Index, with Russia out of it, trades at 13 times earnings as compared to the S&P 500, say, at 23. In fact, at last week's low, the primary exchange-traded fund for the space, EEM, was down 25% from, get ready, its October 2007 level. Even when you add in dividends, the total return for those 15 years is less than 1%. And finally, in international closed-end funds, and this is often the case, right, in closed-end fund, you're getting a discount on top of a discount. So the international equity closed-end funds today trade at a median discount of 12%, 88 cents on the dollar, as compared to a long-term discount of about 10%. Emerging market bond closed-end funds trade at 11% discount compared to a long-term 8% discount. And we'll talk about some specific tickers there later on.
You and I have talked about closed-end fund discounts in the past. And in fact, we had a conversation as the global economy was heading into the pandemic. And we had just seen everything start. The market, of course, was tanking. And you came on and basically said, well, I'm not saying that there's a bottom in here, but I am saying, oh, my goodness, look at the bargains I have to buy right now. Well, now we've got the same situation, but not with as much clarity. And I know it's hard to believe there was any clarity at all back in March and April of 2020. But there was. You knew that at some point the virus would pass. Here, you're wondering if World War III is on the horizon. Is this buying opportunity better than 2020, or is this buying opportunity worse than 2020? And of course, we're taking out the emotion of buying during wartime. We're just talking about the metrics.
Sure. I mean, I think the metrics aren't quite as attractive, certainly, as they were March 18th, 2020 at the bottom, right? But they are very good. I mean, the closed-end fund market today overall trades at an average discount of about 6% to its net asset value, and usually that's more like 3%. And that doesn't sound like a big difference, but it's a standard deviation cheap for those who like math terms like that. And those opportunities are sprinkled throughout the closed-end fund universe. There are fairly cheap opportunities in terms of discount compared to history throughout the space. And I would say that today, the things that are getting the market concerned are fairly clear to us, right? There is, of course, a risk that the situation with Russia turns into World War III. And there is, of course, the risk that interest rates spike up to 4, 5, 6%. We can't discount that as a possibility, but it's pretty clear that those are low probability scenarios. And it's also pretty clear to us that the closed-end fund market is worrying about those things far too much.
Where else are you finding bargains? And then let's flip that around. What are you moving away from where, nope, closed-end fund business has not really responded well?
So I mentioned emerging market stuff. I think another broad area that we talked about in May of 2021 is MLP closed-end funds. And shockingly, all that's happened since May of 2021 is that even though those closed-end funds have done well for us, they've actually gotten cheaper on a discount basis, and oil prices have spiked to new highs, which ordinarily would be good for these companies, or it is good for these companies and their profits. And so the situation has become clearer that MLPs are a good bargain. Their fundamental business has improved, and yet the closed-end fund MLPs are still trading at sort of an average discount of 18% at the moment, and five funds are at wider than 20% discounts. But I think that overall, right, all the things we pointed out in May are still true. MLPs in general are about 12 times earnings. You know, they have free cash flow yields in the mid-teens. They have a dividend yield around 8%. They're still 60% below their 2014 highs. And it's just a great opportunity. It continues to be a good opportunity for new money, in our opinion.
And what are you staying away from? What are you avoiding?
So one of the things to talk about, I think, would be utilities. So closed-end funds that own utilities, you know, your typical Duke or Dominion or, you know, electric utilities, things like that. These utilities are often valued by investors for their attractive cash distributions and the modest growth they can have in those distributions over time. And so they have many of the characteristics as same characteristics as long-term bonds. So if you look at the bond market, right, the bond market is struggling. The long-term rates are up. You know, the 10-year Treasury has gone all the way up to 2.2 as the Fed has started to raise rates. So if you look at that, you might expect utilities to be on sale, right? Long-term bonds are on sale, so why wouldn't utilities be on sale? But they're not. Utility stocks have performed well. They're up nearly 20% over the past year, and that's pushed their indicated yields down to the mid-2s. And, you know, that may seem like still a good deal compared to the 10-year Treasury, but in general, utilities have had a much bigger spread compared to the 10-year Treasuries. So utilities could be one of those sectors that catch up on the downside if rates stay where they are or continue to rise. And meantime, utilities closed-end funds are trading at a sort of a premium on top of a premium in the sense that the average closed-end fund in the space trades about 12 to 13% above its net asset value. So that's an area that that we'd say avoid.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some closed-end funds that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Yes, it might seem like Fantasy Island when you can buy assets on sale, but that is a huge part of why you get interested in closed-end funds. And we're discussing closed-end funds now with Eric Boughton, portfolio manager and chief analyst at Matisse Capital. They run the Matisse Fund, so it's MatisseCap.com, and you've heard a lot of the things that he's getting into. Remember, if you want to participate yourself, you need to send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. We're going to start with a couple of requests that are internationally oriented, but not necessarily all about Russia. Tony in Las Vegas wants to know about MXE. That's the Mexico Equity and Income Fund.
The Mexico Equity and Income Fund. In our opinion, this is a buy. So this is a great example of an emerging market closed-end fund that has nothing to do with Russia, but which investors seem to be Russian to sell. In fact, Mexico is probably going to benefit from higher oil prices. And Mexican stocks are cheap at about 14 or 15 times earnings. And meanwhile, this closed-end fund, MXE, closed this past Friday at a 21% discount to its NAV, 79 cents on the dollar, right? On average, over the past decade, it's traded at a 12% discount. The fund's well run. It's beaten its benchmark handily over the long term. And it's a small fund, and it's had recent activist involvement. So there's a chance that it might be liquidated at NAV at some point. No guarantee, but a possibility. And when a fund goes from 79 cents in the dollar to a dollar, that's a 27% extra return if that happens. So we say MXE is a strong buy.
It's hit rock bottom. Come on, let's buy.
Yeah, it's a strong buy on MXE. Don't be one of those people who, as Eric just said, is Russian out of it. That's two drum tags for you, Eric. I don't know that we've ever had a guest who's earned three, but we'll see. And we're going to move on to another international fund. Steve in Royal Oak, Michigan, wants to know about the Aberdeen Asia Pacific Income Fund. That's ticker symbol FAX.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you listening to the program. Yeah, it's this is another example on the emerging market theme, this time on the bond side. So this is an Asia Pacific Income Fund. So as the name suggests, the fund owns bonds issued by Asia Pacific companies and governments. It doesn't have any Russia. And yet, recently, investors have not only sold the Asia Pacific bonds underlying the portfolio somewhat indiscriminately. For example, the underlying portfolio for FAX has fallen 12% over the past year. But they have also sold FAX itself down to a 13.5% discount to that depressed NAV, as of this past Friday. So we're of the opinion that not only will that discount narrow substantially, I mean, consider that since its launch, FAX has traded at an average 8% discount, but its portfolio, we think, will also likely recover as well. And while investors wait, they're likely to collect a monthly cash distribution. Again, no guarantee, but it's been very stable. A cash distribution that works out to 9.9% on an annual basis. So for us, FAX is a strong buy.
That's a buy on FAX, F-A-X, Aberdeen Asia Pacific Income. Our last international request comes from Morris in Bradenton, Florida. He wants to know about the IHD, Voya Emerging Markets High Dividend Equity.
That's another wonderful fund that fits the emerging market theme. Again, it's a fund with less than 2% in Russia, even before the invasion. It's very well run. It focuses on high dividend stocks, and it pays a quarterly cash distribution that works out to 11% on its current stock price. So typically it trades at a 7% discount, and as of Friday it closed at a 12% discount. It's a strong buy.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
That's a strong buy on IHD, Voya Emerging Markets High Dividend Equity. Now we'll come back and go a little more domestic, starting with a request from Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland. He wants to know about the Liberty All-Star Growth Fund. That's ticker ASG.
ASG is a fund that owns growth companies at sky-high valuations, right? Its median holding trades right now at a P.E. ratio of 37, not even counting the holdings that aren't profitable right now. Meanwhile, ASG itself trades at a 4% premium to its net asset value when, on average, over time, it's traded at a 5% discount. It's a premium on top of a premium. For us, that's a sell.
Something smells like rancid rodeo around here.
Yeah, premium on premium probably does smell like rancid rodeo. That's a sell on ASG, Liberty All-Star Growth.